Welcome to part two with Dr. Azeem.
Dr. Azeem gets into implants, implantology, and how to carve out a niche for yourself in the field of dentistry.
Speaking of opportunities, now you kind of have your hands in quite a few different things. So obviously you have a pretty, you know, for all intents and purposes, it kind of runs like a specialty practice where you get a lot of referrals. Last time I was there was someone that came from Barrie. And they said, yeah, like we'll drive 3 hours for the post-op things. If you have to come 2-3 times, we have no problem coming here. And the hours that you kind of work, you know, it's like 3.5 days. It's not crazy hours compared to like other GTA offices that are basically open like 24/7. How did you kind of find the other opportunities to kind of get into speaking, to kind of start the Odin study club, if you are, or basically network for implant things? How did you find those opportunities, or did you kind of create them yourselves?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't that smart. I did not create them myself. I actually started off, realizing that, you know, what I loved to do was implants. And I didn't know how to do more of that. So whether it's cosmetic work that you love, you know, there's some dentists who are just jack of all trades. They'll do kind of everything. For me, I quickly realized, just quite frankly, looking through the fee guide, even that surgery had the highest fee guide, like it had the highest numbers. And so for me, like 2 years in as an associate, I'm like, I got to try to figure out, you know, what I enjoy doing. And I didn't feel like I could be jack of all trades, right? I didn't feel like I could do just everything, cosmetic, this and that. And I took all the courses, but just what I love to do was surgery. And it just came very natural to me. Like it was like a gift that I was given, quite frankly. I don't attribute this to my skills at all. It was something that it just came natural. And so as a result, I said, how am I going to do more of that stuff? Right. And I tried advertising, I tried doing all these things, but in a different aspect, I also knew that in my business, I needed to focus on my passive income, which was my hygiene program. When I took the practice, I needed to make sure that that was strong because like I told you guys, the foundation is everything. I've always believed that. That's how we were taught in dental school, but it just was not happening in the practice that I bought and it wasn't happening around me either. And so there was this program called Soft Tissue Management. It was like a full day seminar. I took my team to it and I was like, wow, like I can actually get a proper perio program in my office. And we didn't have anything in my office. So I started really excelling with that program. And as a result, the company asked me, can you maybe just go out for a dinner and like maybe take some, maybe speak? And then I said, sure. So I'll speak to some dentists about my experiences. And then I guess I did really well. They said, we're going to put you up in front of like maybe 20 or 30 dentists. And then I walked out on their stage and there was like 150 people there, not realizing that it was like 25 dentists and all of their team members, which meant 150 people. And so that's how I started off speaking. And again, it didn't come naturally to me. I used to have a stutter, a really severe stutter. I used to get like super, super crazy nervous when I used to get up in front of people. That's why all my kids are in drama school. But it just evolved into doing it so often. And just kind of getting into the groove. And, you know, I think anybody in education realizes that when you have the ability, when you've been able to be, again, gifted something and you've been able to do well at it, you have the obligation, not just, hey, I'm going to get up there so I can get paid to do it, but you actually have an obligation to go out and help others. And that's been my mentality and my mindset from the beginning. And as a result, I think that helped to build people around me who kind of looked up to me as a quote unquote mentor. And that's why I started the Ontario Dental Implant Network, which started off with 5 dentists just come in to watch me do a few surgeries here or there. And now it's grown out to over 130 or 125 members, right? So I think that was my start, but then just kind of getting more into it and realizing that I had an obligation to give back to other people. Right? I don't know. Hope that makes sense.
So actually, it's a funny way to think about it. I'm just trying to picture the mentality for you wake up and it's not the drive to, oh, I should improve my speaking pattern, behavior, knowledge sharing for myself as self-development, but more to benefit everyone else and share. And it's not about necessarily I need to improve my presentation skills so that I can present on a larger scale. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know what I find actually, and that's a great question, Elena, is that, you know, when you speak about something that you just are passionate about and you love it, it actually isn't really hard to talk about it because you're just sharing what you believe, right? And when you're sharing what you believe, then it's easy to get up there and you just love doing it, right? But the other thing is, and my wife, you know, I used to travel. So that same company that I started lecturing for, I started doing lectures in the US. 3 weekends out of a year, I would fly out on a Thursday night, lecture on the Friday, take a red eye back on the Saturday, because this is like West Coast. And my wife looked at me as like, she's like, you're never home. You're lecturing like out of the, like 3 weekends out of the year. But, this led to like an actual discussion and she realized way back then that like, this is an obligation that I have to do. And it's important to have somebody who's supportive. So as an associate, I would say, yes, you have your career, but you need to look for somebody who's going to be supportive and also bring value to you. Like she, you know, like she levels my head. She helps me religiously and spiritually, but she also supports me in a way that allows me to do all the crazy things that I'm doing. Again, like, you know, weekends and evenings and these types of things. And then, you know, I just, obviously it helps with past, you know, active income, right? Because now you're getting paid to do other things. And I also realize when I get older, like I can't do surgeries, 4 or 5 hour surgeries. Like you saw my day, Babia, right? You were there. I mean, it's pretty intense, right? And he's like, is this busy? I'm like, this is like half busy.
Just to give you guys a kind of mental picture, it was like 3 major surgeries. One was a maxillary clearance all on X. Then there's like 2 implants on the bottom. And then the day ends with a mandibular clearance and a four or five implant overdenture case. And I'm like, well, this is like, must be tiring out. He's like, yeah, it's not too bad. I'm like, are you crazy? This is bread and butter. I think that's the term that you use, bread and butter. I was like, give me like an occlusal for bread and butter, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's just because I love it so much. And that's what I hope really for every student. And it's going to take a bit of time, but when you just enjoy going to work because you love what you do, you know, you realize that you're helping people and people are like, oh, you're cleaning teeth, right? Like, I'm like, ask somebody, I think last week I met somebody new at a party and they were just like, what do? Are you a dentist? Oh, you clean teeth. I'm like, yeah, I clean teeth. It's like, you want to slap the person on the head, right? No, I actually changed lives. You know, I improved their oral health. I improved their ability to function. I improved their confidence. I improved, like, these are the things that we're doing. And when I have the ability to get up there and speak to one office, I have the ability to affect like 3,000 patients, right? Like that to me is amazing. Like if I have the ability to share even a few things that have helped me do better for my patients with another office, that's huge. And now I'm speaking in front of like 10 or 15 or 30, 40 offices. I mean, that to me is really like what we should have as a big mindset. Get yourself to the point where you feel so good about yourself and what you're doing that others will just gravitate towards you, right? I find that's just what's happened with the Odin Club, I would hope.
And yeah, sort of, I was reading over the Odin website and something that I don't think I've read into much, but is the topic of immediate implants. And like you were just saying, change, that's pretty big, isn't it? I don't know exactly when immediate implants started to become a thing. But could you maybe talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So, back in my implant career, again, we're all taught traditionally. And then I just realized like patients were coming in and, you know, they were looking at me saying, why do I have to have a tooth removed, wait 4 or 5 months, then have an implant, wait another 4 or 5 months, and then like now get a tooth. And it was just, they just didn't understand that. And I said, well, I don't understand it either. So let me just start putting implants into your sockets. Like, let's just start doing it. And so I started immediate implants like probably close to 15 years ago. Like my first case, I think, was almost a couple of years after I learned implants. So just now, everybody's starting to realize that that is actually one of the best treatments to do. In fact, it's now becoming, in my opinion, among some of the world clinicians, experts, to be the standard of care, right? And so, you know, to be able to give the patient an implant and now even be able to load it the same day. And Babia attended my lecture on Wednesday for Shaw. I think we had like close to 65 or 70 dentists there. It was, it's just everybody wanting to get into it, because we have that ability to be able to, you know, do things. And honestly, patients want it.
right? So one of the things going back to creating value is if you look at a hot button, I don't know if you guys have heard of what a hot button is. So a hot button is actually an emotional and personal issue or concern that triggers immediate intense reaction from the patient or from somebody. So you have somebody who comes in and says, I can't chew, I can't chew. Now you focus in on, you can't chew, this is why this is going to help you chew. That's all you talk about the whole time versus, oh, I can make you smile better. You know, it's going to look so nice and white. That patient doesn't care. All they care about is what their ability to chew with. So when patients were coming in, I realized a lot of their hot buttons that they were coming in talking about, immediate implants could help resolve those issues. Meaning patients wanted things right away. And now you guys know that, right? Everything on the phone is, everything's instant. Everything is instant gratification. If you can't do it, if somebody can do it right away, guess what? I'm going to get the job. And that's what happens. They'll go other places. Patients will come into my office. Well, but I have a big infection and they said I have to wait. No, we don't. We can place your implant, clean out the infection, make a tooth the same day. You'll walk out with a tooth the same day. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's possible. Of course, with added training, I've been doing this for a while. But I think that's what led me to start getting into it. And now obviously the trend is everybody's trying to do more of it because they realize patients want that treatment. And it's a great option, especially because we're seeing patients breaking teeth now more than ever, right? So yes, you want to start from the basics, but you know, you need to start getting into what you know, as far as implants go, what's out there and what people want. Where's the need, right? Where's the need? And I think as an associate, when you come out, you start working, you're going to see the need is people need fillings. So you're going to get good at fillings, you know, people need crowns, right? But guess what? If they need crowns, that means they need crown lengthening because many of these teeth that need crowns don't have enough tooth. So that was actually the first surgery that I learned how to do was crown lengthening. And it just so happens to be covered as well. So, yeah. So again, go where the need is, and immediate implants, I think there's a huge need for it right now.
Yeah. Both our mouths are open, ready for a question. In terms of need also, I saw, I think on your practice website that you're also into sedation dentistry as well, right? I mean, obviously patients fear the dentist and getting some form of sedation probably helps, right? Or could you maybe talk a little about your experience with sedation?
For sure. So, I mean, one of the ways that, again, that you connect with a patient is your ability to put them at ease, right? And so if you're able to talk them through the procedure, you know, Elena's voice, very nice and calm and soothing, you know, mine's a little bit deeper. Bobby, I think you guys both have nice voices, but sometimes no matter what you're doing, it's stressful, right? And some patients just come in. So for me, I wanted the ability, honestly, the reason why I got into sedation initially was I wanted to be able to do more for the patient in a shorter period of time. And that's just practice efficiency or efficiency 101, is if I can do more stuff for the patient in a shorter period of time or at the same appointment, then that means just I'm more productive. But I'm also helping the patient because they don't want to be there to begin with, right? So you know, at the end of the day, sedation, and I just mean even just nitrous oxide, which is really easy to do, it just helps to calm the patient. Plus, it's a billable procedure, right? Like you're producing more. Then you add nitrous oxide and oral sedation, which I started doing a lot of, but then realizing that that was not as predictable, right? Because some patients, you can give them a pill and they're still looking at you. Like after 45 minutes, they're like, oh, when is this going to work? And you're like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do here? Like, I got to do like four wisdom teeth impacted. So that's when we started getting into IV sedation and having an anesthesiologist, you know, come into the office and perform the sedation. And I'm just not somebody who can be trusted with IV because, you know, I'm not good enough to monitor patients and do the work at the same time. So again, sedation just allows you to cater to those patients who need a lot of work done in one appointment. And as a GP, you can be that super GP. That's what I love about being a general dentist. I can bring the patient in, and I showed you guys a case there, Bobby, on Wednesday was I mean, the patient needed like 4 impacted wisdom teeth, 5 implants, 3 fillings, you know, and like a root canal, and her dog walked. Okay. So I did everything except for walking her dog. That was extra. She didn't want to pay for it. Okay.
Well, but she had more time to go walk the dog.
Exactly.
Azeem, one question I want to ask you is, honestly, you're probably too humble to actually admit it, but you're probably kind of, you know, in the 1% of practitioners when it comes to immediate implants. Like, you're really like, you know, driving that new wave, I guess. Does it ever kind of put some fear into you? It's like, you know, like, I'm trying like a new thing here. And kind of like you said, you know, I had patients coming in and said, hey, like, I have to wait like a year basically to get a tooth, but you know what, let's try it. Does it ever kind of put a little bit of fear into you that, you know what, like, I'm trying a new procedure. It's kind of, you know, it's maybe a little bit unpredictable. I mean, you can do all the clinical research you want, but sometimes, you know, in the mouth, it's just different. How do you kind of gauge like the risk level that you're willing to take on? Because some cases I've seen of yours online, like, puts a little bit of fear into me. I remember there's a case you posted last week on your Odin. It was like, there's like 0.5 millimeter of a sinus and you bump it up like, you know, 15, 20 millimeters and case turns out fine and all goes okay. But how do you kind of gauge the amount of risk you're kind of willing to take on sometimes?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a really important question because, again, as somebody who educates, I feel, because I do see cases that go south, I feel responsible because, you know, and especially now with Facebook and Instagram and all these, we're posting these cases, they're cool, but, you know, like you mentioned, they come with an inherent level of risk. And so I think the key is to start like having a solid foundation, knowing kind of where you are. And somebody recently, I just read this actually yesterday on, and I'm obsessed with dentistry, by the way, guys, I'm looking at stuff on dentistry. I'll tell you 20 hours out of the day, I'm obsessed. Okay. But I just love it. And I think it's one of the best professions ever. It is the best profession, but either way, somebody said, you know, you have to stick to your comfort level. You have to know your limits. Okay. And I argue with that. I say, well, if you don't really know what your limits are, right? You have to be cautious, but if you don't push yourself, and that's why these members that I have, or this club that I run, are with me, is I'm there to push them in a way based on what I feel I think they can do, right? So I'm there to push them, because if you see something every single day, you're going to be pushed to kind of do it, right? It's like, again, in our religion, a Muslim, we say, you know, if I look at the people that you surround yourself by, then it will define your character, right? So if you're around people who are talking about implants all the time, you're naturally going to get into it. But one of the important things is to always set the bar low. And I think what I did early on when I started doing these things was I told patients right off the bat, I picked, so there's 4 kinds of cases or 4 kinds of patients. There's an easy patient and an easy case, right? There's a easy case, so easy case, easy patient. Easy case, hard patient. You know those hard patients, okay? Then you have a hard case, but an easy patient. So what I did was I picked, and then you have, of course, hard and hard. Those you stay away from, right? I picked the hard case on the easy patient. The easy patient meant I was able to set the bar so low. I said, hey, listen, Julie, you're coming in. I'm going to be doing this procedure. This is an implant the same day. It's never been done in the world before, and there's a high probability it's going to fall out of your mouth. But if this works, it's going to save you 4 months. Would you like to try this or not? And then I would have them sign on the dotted line. I consent to this procedure. I'm aware that the implant might fail. We'll redo it at no charge because I've already paid. And it'll be 9 months instead of 4, or whatever, 10 months instead of 4. So setting the bar really low and choosing your patient is really, really critical when you start getting into cases like this that you're not unsure. But quite frankly, a lot of immediate cases that people should be starting off with are actually pretty straightforward. And they're shocked when they do them and they work. They're like, this worked. I'm like, yeah, dumbass. I mean, I've been telling you that for like 10 years. Like, wake up, smell the freaking coffee here, right? So setting the bar low, I think, is important. Yeah.
And the other thing I want to ask is, how did you get into the Hyosin training program? Was that more of like a clinical approach that, you know what, basically was just kind of like word of mouth? Hey, you know, Azeem is doing a lot of immediate implants. He'd probably be a good teacher. Was that basically how it kind of went down?
Yeah. So back in my career, I started off with Nobel Biocare. And when I started using them, I had a meeting with them and I said, guys, like, I really want to do more implants. And so I remember where we met at Giggling Tomatoes. There was six of them and it was just myself. And I was doing maybe like an implant every other month, right? So call it maybe like 5 to 7 implants. And so they just told me, they said, well, you know, Dr. Sheikh, we'd love to help you, because there was another company coming out that was a little bit less expensive. And I said, well, like, if it's less expensive, then I can pass those cost savings on to the patient. And so if things are less, then maybe I can do more implants. Maybe I can sell more, right? Like, patients will say yes, because they're cheaper. And so that company said, well, no, we can't help you. Maybe you should keep us as the premium one and then keep this lower brand as people who, if people want to spend less. And I was like, that makes no sense. So that moment I switched over to that lesser company brand, which was Implant Direct. And then realizing that, again, costs for patients were important, but I didn't want to jeopardize on quality. So as a result, when I found out about Hyosin, I looked into their system. It was at the time, and still is, quite frankly, the best system on the market from a kit standpoint. From what I was doing with immediate implants, you have to remember, with immediates, like, teeth are coming out and we're putting implants in the same day, and there's these big holes everywhere. So to have an implant, if it doesn't work, just go up by another little small size to have the size variation. At that time, no other company had it. And it also had a very aggressive thread. You need to get stability, like, you need to grab the bone so it doesn't fall out of the patient's mouth. So I started really liking that system. And then as a result, they asked me, because I was doing, you know, at that time I was doing maybe like 20 a month. It was a lot more. You know, now Nobel's knocking on my door, right? Okay. Then they started saying, well, you know, you seem to be excelling with the system. And I'm like, I really love it. They said, can you teach for us? And I actually started their, I actually made up their training program. So I'm still their course director in Toronto, but I started their training program. I think it was my 6 years ago. I literally, you know, wrote the entire curriculum, right? And everything. So it was, it's just, again, just a company that I love, but more importantly, it's just the system. It just, it's a priced really well, prosthetically, like, you know, you can give the patient a really good result and it doesn't break the bank. So that means patients can do more. And you saw, actually, when you were there, Bhavya, like, that patient on the bottom that we did that locator case for, that patient only paid for 4 implants.
Mm-hmm. Fucked up with 5. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I gave 5. And it, like, to me, it was like $110. It took me an extra 5 minutes, but the son was so grateful. Because I'm like, if she wants to do a snap-on, great. But now if she wants to go to something fixed, she's got enough implants. So again, it's that care and that concern for the patient. And she kind of was like my mom, honestly. Like, she was such a nice lady. And I did her top jaw as well. But it just, that price point, and again, it just, it allows me to do things like that all the time. And just, again, it comes back tenfold.
And I guess we can end off on this last question is, a lot of our audience is basically, you know, novice dentists or basically dental students. And we're kind of, you know, intrigued with the whole implants. It's like, oh, implants are the new, you know, cool thing. They've been around for quite some time. But if you had to sit down with somebody and say, you know, this is how you get into implants, how would you kind of plan out their trajectory of getting into implants, getting into surgeries, getting into these, you know, more advanced kind of procedures?
Yeah. So step one, get over the trauma you suffered in dental school about extractions, okay? And understand that extractions have been taught the wrong way and been made so difficult for students that when you come out, like we talked about, you saw an extraction and you're like, what? You don't have to raise a flap for every extraction? You never raise a flap for any extraction ever, right? So learn how to take a tooth out. Okay. Learn atraumatic extraction 101. I teach a course, Neki Jamal there. You guys probably heard of Neki. He's taught a course. Like, there's great people out there that even oral surgeons, but a lot of super GPs, we call ourselves, I don't know, maybe self-proclaimed. all right. That just learn how to take a tooth out and enjoy it. Like, it's not, doesn't have to be hell. Okay. The second is take a basic implant training program that has some GPs in it, right? And I'm not trying to self-promote because I don't get anything if you take the Hyasin course, but there's a lot of great people out there who run amazing courses. And then do live surgery. Like if you get the opportunity, which most programs do, to bring a patient and then do it under the supervision of somebody like myself or another practitioner, take advantage of that. Most people who take those programs don't even get any patients to do surgery on. And then their kit just winds up collecting dust. And then I buy it at a discount because I'm Pakistani. All right. And once you do that and you get some under your belt, start with immediate molar. We know patients are fracturing molars. Start off with that course. Shameless plug, I'm teaching an immediate molar course on April 22nd. I do one every year, usually one or two, just because it's kind of like my passion. I've done over 4,000 of those. It's just patients need it all the time. So you have to go where you see the need, right? Where you see the need. You got to look at what's going on in the industry and say, okay, that's what patients need. That's what I need to hover to. Not a lateral sinus lift. I mean, it's cool. It's great. But you do it once a year and most of us, even, you know, most people refer it out. So find out where the need is. But even just as a dental student, getting out there and being able to, you know, understand that you can be the best surgeon in the world, but if you're not likable, people are not going to come to you. So focus on being likable. Just be likable, right? And listen to the patient, like actively, truly listen to the patient and realize that most people don't like hearing your voice as much as you do. So we got to stop talking and just start listening, right? And like we hear, like hearing ourselves without realizing the patient's already lost and they're looking at their phone, right? So these are some of the key critical factors that I found just helped me, and hopefully they can help you guys excel as well.
So my last question for you, Azim, is what's kind of next for you? You've kind of conquered a lot of the surgery world. You've conquered implants. You've conquered the, you know, the speaking speaking series. What's kind of next for Dr. Azim Sheikh?
Interesting question. So what's next for me is just, again, to give back. Like I told you, I have an obligation to do that. It's not an option for me. I wake up every day thinking, what do I need to do to be able to help, you know, the next generation or other doctors succeed? And whether it's, you know, personally, spiritually, you know, financially, being able to be in a position like myself where I don't need to be working anymore, like quite frankly, right? I'm good. I could stop today and be done. And it's a great feeling to be that at 45, not be 65 and still retire and still have to pay bills. So it's just the ability to help. And that's what Ontario Dental Implant Network has been able to do for other doctors. So my goal is really to kind of help to grow that, to support as many dentists as possible in their journeys. And it's just, honestly, it's an honor and a privilege to have people allow me to be part of that, because it's a big decision. And it's just, it's an amazing feeling, man. When you've been blessed with something and you can see other people, like I just got a message from a doctor in London, in Sarnia, actually. He just sent me a message about, like, he took an immediate molar course last year and he's like, you know, your effects are coming to Sarnia. This is one of my first immediate molar. And it just looks so beautiful and everything turned out and the patient was ecstatic because they didn't have to go through another surgery. Like that's the reason why I get up every single day, is just, again, the ability to watch other people do better is just, it's amazing. So that's my goal. Grow the Odin Network, do more, help other doctors like yourselves, and grow and groom the future, not to be, you know, not nice people to their colleagues, but to be people who want to share and want to be able to help the profession and realize that when you help somebody else, you're helping the patient. And that's what's the most important, right? That's my goal. So hopefully, look forward to seeing you guys as future members.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm basically already sold. And I will say this. I remember the time that I did shadow. Yeah, I think I've been there twice now. And I was a little bit apprehensive in the beginning because I never met you earlier before. That was the first time we were meeting in person. And you have a pretty big reputation, at least in my mind. And I was like, oh, like there's going to be other doctors who are going to be there. I'm going to be kind of a student. So I'll kind of, you know, being the background. But when you do kind of go into your office, it's very Like you really like taught me as if I was like a colleague or like a doctor. And I actually like, I just want to say that I really do appreciate that. Cause sometimes, you know, when you're like a student and you go into offices and there's other doctors, you're like, yeah, you kind of know, like, you know, I'm going to be in the background, let them kind of do their thing. And then I'll basically soak up as much as I can. But I really did feel like we were like, you were kind of teaching me as a colleague. And when other doctors came, you're like, yeah, like come over my shoulder, like here, check this thing out. So, you know, I can attest to the fact that, you know, you do kind of practice what you preach, and it's kind of refreshing to see that in this dental market.
Well, it's one thing that I say very often, and everybody who knows me knows how often I say this, but you only get one chance to make a first impression. You only get one chance. I tell this to my kids too. I'm like, you wrote that test, right? That was a good test. How did you do? Oh, I did good. Do you think you could have done 5% better? Because how many chances do you get to write that test? You only get one chance. How many chances do I get to make an impression on you, on the patient? How many chances do I get to do that surgery? Do I want to do it again? So every single thing in your mindset should be focused on, I only get one chance to do it. And when it's your last chance, really, like your mind is telling you, this is your last chance, you're going to do 1,000,000% every single time. And that's what I try to do, no matter who's around me, is just try to create an impression where when they left, you're like, I did everything I could, no matter whether it's a student, no matter whether it's my grandmother, or no matter whether it's whoever around you, did I leave an impression around this person? And this is, again, it comes from my religion. It's character. It's your character that defines who you are. It's your character that you're going to leave behind. And that's what's going to allow you to be successful. Nothing else but how you are with other people, right? So I'm glad that you had that feeling. I was trying hard. I don't know whether I succeeded. I probably could have done better. So forgive me if I didn't give you my full attention, but I will do better next time. But yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, guys. Just doing your best, and great things come, and you have a good time, you have fun. There's going to be miserable moments, but remember, you're getting into one of the most amazing professions, and it's only what you make of it. If you let other people make it negative for you, then you're going to be negative around it. And it's going to be tough. Nobody says it's going to be easy. Nobody. But be comforted in knowing you're helping people, you're putting people's anxieties to rest, and you're providing better oral health care, which means overall systemic care for them. Just focus on that. You don't need to be their friend. You need to be their healthcare professional and do what's best for them. And I think that's kind of what drives me every day. And hopefully it's going to drive you guys as well.
I think that's a great note to kind of end it on. Aleta and Seb, any last thoughts?
No, that was a great chat. Thanks so much, Dr. Shig. I learned a lot today, that's for sure.
Well, no problem.
Thank you for sharing how clear you are on your values and what drives you every day. I appreciate that transparency, and it gets me excited to become a part of this network of dentists and in a better year. It gets me really, really excited, and I'm sure everyone listening will feel the same way. So thank you so much.
No, thank you guys for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. And hats off to you guys to be, you know, putting in this time and effort to helping your colleagues. You've already started your own Odin, by the way. And I'm sure this is going to grow. And again, anything that I can do to help, I'm always here for you guys.
Yeah. Odin versus Debbie will be rivals in the future, you know?
All good. All good.